714, hot, humid all the way through October, but what are you going to do? It's New Orleans, right? Just enjoy it, and let's hope hurricane season's quiet. Renee Amar joins us now, Executive Director of Louisiana Motor Transport Association. Talk about the insurance crisis. Lord knows we've covered this from almost every angle. One angle we have not is the Louisiana Motor Transport Association, and that's why Renee joins us now. Good morning, Renee. How are you?
Oh, good morning, Tommy. I'm doing pretty well today.
Tell me what's going on with insurance and the trucking industry, et cetera.
It is at crisis rates, tipping point, blink, any of those words that people love to, little catchphrases that they love to use. I think they've been experiencing this for probably the last 10 years, but I've been with the truckers almost five, and it's been a very consistent message that I've heard since I've been with them, is that their rates have become unaffordable, and it's at the point where they can't raise their prices anymore to make up for the difference. And so we really need some relief, and we're looking for some legislative solutions at this point. If they compare rates, especially if they're kind of near any of the border areas of Louisiana. I've got a trucker about a year ago that ended up moving his entire business to the state of Mississippi because his trucking rates there were cut in half. And so if your rates were typically for insurance about 5% of your expenses, and they grew over a relatively short period of time to 20% of your expenses, and you can't raise your prices to keep up with that, they essentially are, it's putting them out of business.
So I understand it's a matter of miles, okay, when it comes to the border, but from what I've been able to learn so far, Renee, it's not the same as painting the walls the same color as Texas or Mississippi. Walls have to be torn down and repositioned before they're painted like Texas and Mississippi. Is that accurate?
Yeah, are you talking about as far as the trucker's business?
Well, the litigious part of it in terms of who can sue whom for what, and it's not as easy as saying, well, let's just do what they do in Louisiana, in Mississippi, and Texas.
Tommy, I mean, you could not have said that any better. It is such a complex web. I mean, no one thinks about civil litigation, right, when they wake up every morning and, you know, put their pants on, brush their teeth, and go to work. But we obviously do, just because the environment that truckers in the state of Louisiana, I have heard repeatedly from lawmakers at the state capitol that we only get sued when we are at fault, and that is absolutely 100% a false statement. We have such an environment and culture in the state of Louisiana that we can be rear-ended and we can be sued. And we are told by the other attorney that they expect us to write a check. And what happens with us, which is vastly different from the car market, is that the insurance companies are going to look at, you know, which judicial system we're going to be in, so like which court. And they end up writing people checks. I know a lot of people don't understand, but our minimum insurance when we get in a car is, you know, $15,000, $30,000. But for a trucker, just to get on the road, theirs starts at $750,000. It's usually around $1 million. And so I hope that that explains to people why we are the targets that are on the billboard. It's because we are a really big target with really deep pockets. And those deep pockets ultimately end up with my truckers having to write really big insurance checks.
You know, I don't want to call anybody out here, but, you know, you see about the big truck companies are already on the scene, and you can make a case that they're on the scene trying to minimize the claim, but you can also make the case that they're on the scene trying to protect themselves from frivolous lawsuits. And what we're talking about here, Renee, correct me if I'm wrong, is the insurance company is going to write a check to get you to go away because it's cheaper than litigating. The lawyer's part of it is to write a letter and threaten a lawsuit, and the end result is the people, all of us end up paying higher premiums as a result for that. Is that fair?
That's incredibly fair, because we are simply the middleman of all of your products. And so if you think about those big shipments that are coming into the port of New Orleans, They have to be picked up by someone and brought to your shelf, whether that's your, you know, tennis shoes, your bedding, your food. You know, 80% of the people in the state of Louisiana depend on a trucker to get their goods. And so whatever we have to charge for that shipment is built into the price of the product that you purchase on the shelf. And so the more that our insurance costs, the more your products cost. And so we are simply the middleman. The problem for my truckers that are on the border is that they are competing with people in Texas and Mississippi and, you know, Arkansas. And those states are not having an insurance crisis like we are. And as I mentioned, my one trucker that ended up moving to Mississippi cut all of his insurance costs in half. And so they are at the point where they just can't compete anymore. And yeah, it's hurting the citizens as well, not just in the cost that we pay from all the goods that we purchase, but it's killing our auto insurance too.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. You know, I don't know of everything that's proceeding in Baton Rouge, if any of it's going to make a difference or not. It seems as though I would guess no, but we'll see. And how optimistic are you, Renee? Specifically, what are you looking for them to change, and how far have you gotten on that? Renee Amar, Executive Director of the Louisiana Motor Transport Association. One thing I will say that has nothing to do with anything is that you guys have a tremendous logo. And for those that have not seen the LMTA's logo, they have the boot of Louisiana as the cab of a truck, and then they have LMTA as the what do you call that part of the truck? The back of it, whatever you call it. And then over the bed and the wheels, and it's an awesome logo. Y'all look it up, LMTA, if you can, safely. Don't do it while you're driving. 720 traffic now, WWL. Hi, 726, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Renee Amar, Executive Director of the Louisiana Motor Transport Association, about the problems trucking industry has with insurance and lawsuits in Louisiana. So, Renee, what's been done in Baton Rouge so far? What are you asking them to do, and what kind of progress are you making?
Tommy, I have to say, I'm a relatively optimistic person by nature, but you know, sometimes this process in Baton Rouge really just beats me down, and I feel like I need to, you know, quit my job and go into an entirely new profession. Yeah. But
like an insane asylum, perhaps.
Oh my God, every other day.
Yeah, right there with you. I'll be in a room next to you.
But I have to say that I am feeling incredibly optimistic at this point. We have this one committee in Baton Rouge for the decades that I've been down there that has been difficult to deal with. And this has been Republican or Democrat. I want people to understand that. Like, this is not necessarily a partisan issue. But for once that I've been down there, this very week, in fact, it's called the Judiciary A Committee, and it's where all the civil litigation bills go, and I would normally say go to die. But this week we got out a handful of bills that I feel like could definitely move the needle as far as opening competition. I don't like to tell people that, you know, any of these bills will pass and tomorrow your insurance rates are going to lower. But what needs to happen is that insurance companies need to feel like this is a welcome environment and this is not a hostile environment. And people seem to forget that these insurance companies that won't write here write in other states. They don't have to write in the state of Louisiana. And what we have experienced in the trucking industry is that year after year, insurance companies have left. And for the loggers, which are primarily in North Louisiana, they only have one company that writes them. So they really have no competition in their market. And typically for my truckers, depending on the type of commodity you haul, they'll have maybe two or three that will quote them, but only two are actually quotes that they might be able to afford. The other one is so astronomical that they can't even afford it. And so there's a package of bills that are being supported by largely Commissioner Temple, and the governor supports a handful of them as well, that are moving through the process. And this very week, we finally got them out of that Jude A committee.
So when it comes to, like you mentioned, logging trucks, and I know people in North Louisiana, and I see them up there all the time, what kind of premiums are they paying per truck? Do you have any idea?
I don't. I know a lot of times our members, it's such a wild range. It could be $5,000 for a truck, depending on the commodity you haul. Mm-hmm. And it's the region you're in. Because think about if you're in a rural area, maybe driving on state highways where it's not as trafficky, or I have members that haul aggregate over the Mississippi River Bridge, you know, eight times a day, that the exposure that the guy that's hauling aggregate over the Mississippi River Bridge is huge, is the risk is huge. And so he's probably going to be paying more like $15,000 or $20,000 for a truck. The problem is that, especially for those logging trucks, like they're just right there over the state line in Arkansas. And so their premiums vary. You know, it'd be just the same as if, you know, we're driving a Pinto or we're driving a Mercedes-Benz. It's going to vary pretty wildly.
Appreciate your time, Renee. We'll talk to you again maybe before the session ends. Renee Amar, Executive Director of Louisiana Motor Transport Association. Let's hope something gets done. We'll talk to Simone Malaz when we come back, Campaign Director for Restore the Mississippi River Delta, about the Mid-Barataria sediment diversion. They pushed state leaders to move forward yesterday. We'll see what the result was. Right now we pause for WWL First News. 7:45, quarter till 8, a lot going on in Baton Rouge with the legislative session. Something else is going on Monday, and Simone Malaz was part of it, Campaign Director for Restore the Mississippi River Delta. Good morning, Simone. How are you?
Good morning, Tommy. Thanks for having me back.
Thanks for taking the time. Tell me what went on in Baton Rouge on the 12th. I guess it was Monday, right?
Yeah. So we kicked off the week. It was Coastal Day at the Louisiana Legislature, and that's something that we've been celebrating for years. It's kind of the time of year where, you know, people from the communities and industry come together to talk about the coastal program. And sometimes they talk about the successes that they've had. And then, you know, for the industry folks and the community folks, it's important that they talk about what they're planning, what the look forward is, and, you know, what projects are going to be implemented, what's coming online. And so, as you can imagine through our usual discussions, this year's Coastal Day certainly took on a different tone and tenor.
Did you testify before anybody, or were you just hanging around the hallways? I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm serious.
No. That's a great question. What does one do? Yeah. We talked about a couple of weeks ago, we talked about how the annual plan moves through at least four different committees of the Louisiana legislature. So it's been through two already. It has two more to go. Those were not scheduled on Monday. And so usually there's some kind of briefing, press briefing by the state. At times for the past several years, we have hosted a community panel for the folks that's coming from the communities that come up. The state hosts an industry briefing where they talk about the work coming up for the engineering firms, et cetera. And there's a time even where there's something, a common term to us, tabling, where we have information available in Memorial Hall, which is the big, beautiful hall at the legislature. So it's really, it's a great day to have a touch point with those folks that we send up to Baton Rouge to help make decisions about Louisiana's coastal future. We wanted to make sure that we injected that community aspect. And so we wanted to talk about the Mid-Barataria sediment diversion, its status, how it's in the annual plan, but not moving forward. And on Monday, we were joined by community leaders that helped us to underscore the importance of science-based planning and the importance of that project.
We've talked about it, God knows how much, a lot, you and I, Simone, as well as Keith mm-hmm. Hinckley and the people that are not in favor mm-hmm. of it. But where does it stand now? I'm confused with funding and moving forward and lawsuits. And tell me what the status of the Mid-Barataria sediment diversion is as of right now, you and me talking right now.
Yeah, it feels like the status is purgatory, Tommy. But unfortunately, that we have been talking about this for over a year. Over $500 million has been spent on this project. We think it's actually approaching $700 million. and we don't have a project. Work has stopped. The contractor has begun their demobilization. Of course, the Corps suspended the permit for the project a couple weeks ago. We've talked about that based on a couple of different reasons. And so there are some facts that keep coming up that we, you know, we can keep litigating those. Those have been decided and discussed, thoroughly evaluated in a process that took 6 years to get a permit. 6 years, Tommy. And now in 1 year, somebody thinks they have a better idea and they're not going to involve people in that process. And so that is what we are talking about the most. The money spent already, why folks have not been involved in the process that got us here in the first place. And then we're talking about what our future looks like. Any kind of alternative or next projects could be, they're not could be, they will be years and years away from implementation. So, Tommy, just a year or so or more ago, you know, they were under construction on a project, and now we are looking at delays that could be 5 to 10 years away.
So
putting a real project in the ground.
When you say $700 million could have been spent already, let's just say $500 million, because you don't want to have to account for every dollar, right? Let's say $500 million. We'll take a break.
A couple hundred million,
yeah,
Tommy,
you know,
right?
Right. Between friends, just a couple hundred million. I got this. I'll take care of the couple hundred million. But when we come back, Simone, tell me what the $500 million has been spent on, because I think a lot of people want to know that, and is there anything to show for it, or if you stop now, does whatever's been spent, the $500 million's been spent, has it been spent on nothing? Because I'm trying to get my head wrapped around that as well. Simone Malaz, our friend, our guest, campaign director for Restore the Mississippi River Delta. We've spoken to Gordon Dove. We're still working on getting them together in the studio and letting them talk to each other, because I think it's a very important thing. And I know they're both very passionate about it. I don't know that... I think you have to err on the safe side. My opinion would say that, err on the side of science and the safe side. And I know Jeff Landry is opposed to this, and he's quoted in this story that I'm looking at here as saying that he was concerned with the threat that it posed to the shrimp and oyster industry, that it would break Louisiana culture. We'll address that with Simone as well when we come back. 751 Traffic, WWL. 7:57, 3 till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Simone Malaz, campaign director for the Restore of the Mississippi River Delta. So, $500 million has been spent so far, Simone. On what? Is there anything to show for it? That's a lot of money.
Yeah, it is absolutely, especially in the coastal world, Tommy, that is a lot of money. So at the end of last year, CPRA reported that they had spent $541 million. Some of that was on pre-construction costs, you know, design, engineering, permitting. They even advanced some mitigation and stewardship dollars, which is essentially to help the community and industries. They had tapped wildlife and fisheries to help with that. So they had about just under $10 million that was advanced before the project even was, you know, before the spigot got turned on. And then the bulk of that cost is construction. What we don't know, Tommy, is how much these delays have cost us. We understand that the state has requested more money to help pay for some of these contractor bills as we round into this new year. And the fact of the matter is that you have the start of a project that's not completed. They will say that, of course, a lot of that can be used in any alternatives developed. But how do they know that? And how do you use design and engineering dollars on an entirely new project? So that is part of the questions that we have on how they developed these alternatives. And, you know, and what's next? Why did we have to go through a 6-year process, but in 12 short months that you can decide that you have the science, engineering, and economics behind you for an alternative? Also, you know, it comes to a lot of times when they talk about the project and increased costs. Unfortunately, Tommy, that is not unique to this project. The West Shore Lake Pontchartrain levee project was $760 million in 2016. The current cost is $3.7 billion. Mm. And those are taxpayer dollars. Of course, we're using Deepwater Horizon dollars, but there's example, unfortunately, example after example of project costs that have increased. So when we say we have no more time, we have no more money to lose, that's not just a quip. It's not just something that's easy to say.
Thank you, Simone.